wonder if you might pray with me and for me. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for this moment and this day that you've given us. And God, might we not waste it? Might we be open to the movement of your Holy Spirit? God, it seems that sometimes in the world that we live in, things are tough. And they're tough for lots of people, God, for different reasons, for health reasons. God, for folks that don't have the basic things that they need. God, for people who live in areas of war, for people who are afraid for their lives, people who are dealing with different mental health realities, people who feel lonely. And God, even in the midst of all of those realities, you are still God. And you meet us in the midst of every single moment that we have. So in this moment, on this day, I pray, God, that we would be open to who you are, that somehow you might speak through me. God, that you would give us ears to hear what you want each of us to hear, that our minds might be open to understanding, that our hearts might even be willing to be transformed. Come, Holy Spirit, do what you do. And by all means, God, let me get out of the way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we've talked about it. We're doing this Summer on Broadway series. We have 5 shows. Can you guess? Of course, you know what today's is. It's been shared. Can you guess what the 5 shows are from the video? Anybody? Just shout one out. Okay, Fiddler on the Roof. I heard that like 9 times. Okay, what else? Into the Woods. Les Mis. Outsiders. Sound of Music. We're still doing that one. That's today. So you got all 5 of them. Last week, some folks walked out and they said, we can't tell what some of them are. Some of that is mystery. But some of that is because maybe you haven't seen some of the shows. Here's my promise for you during this series. During this series, I will bring you up to speed if you haven't seen a show. So don't go home and go, well, I don't know next week's show, so I don't want to come. The Holy Spirit might still work if you don't know the show, okay? It might still happen. God might still move if you haven't seen a show. And again, the goal of this is not to pump up all these shows. The goal of this in this moment is to help you seek to find where God is and the connection with the Bible and God in every aspect of life. I think art is a beautiful thing. Art's a really important thing that we need to pay attention to in our society and culture because art is healing. Art brings life and energy to people. And I want to invite you, whatever it is, whether you see a beautiful painting, whether you hear an incredible song, whether you see a show, whatever it is, to look for those places where God might be in those individual moments. Now, I want to tell you something about me. If you've been here before for this series, if you've ever been on a trip with me, you know that if I could, I would live my life in a real life musical, like the whole thing. I sing constantly. I'm not saying it's good, but I sing constantly. If you've been with me on an experience, a trip, a mission trip, anything like that, I love to sing and I have no problem. There are a lot of people that watch musicals and they have an issue with them. They say, how does everybody know the words to this song in the show? I don't care, right? If all of us stood up right now and started doing a flash mob that we had never rehearsed, I'd be happy. I'd be fine with that. In fact, there was a TV show, and I thought for sure that show was going to be on forever. It was called, I have to remember, because Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist. Anybody ever watch that? There are like 8 of us. That's why it's not on anymore, right? But Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist, where they would come out, and they would all just start singing and dancing. And I was like, that should be real life. Like, could you imagine in the midst of some of the difficult realities in life, if everybody just started singing? It would bring down some of the energy. It would bring down some of the pain. It would connect people. So I would be super fine if that's the way we lived life. I think that'd be an absolutely amazing thing. But alas, that is not the way we live life. And I think that it's okay, but it's wrong. We should live life that way. So what's the point? Again, I always want to bring it back to the so what. We don't do this because it's exciting and people will come. We do this to give you a filter and a lens through which to look. How do you look at life? How do you look at situations? How do you look at a beautiful conversation with someone and see where God exists in the middle of that? I truly believe that God can be present in everything. And how do we find God in the midst of it? So today I'm going to talk about a show that came out on Broadway in 1959. And I have to be honest, The Sound of Music, I had not seen it until a few weeks ago, which is crazy. People, like, every time it's that in Casablanca, like, people say to me, oh, I can't believe you haven't seen the movie. I had not seen it, but now I have, so I'm part of the club. I've joined it, and I want to tell you, I found it really beautiful. I found that it's really and truly a timeless example of art. Now, some of you have probably never seen the Broadway show. Many of you have probably seen the movie. I don't want to assume, but I'm going to bring us up to speed so we all know what's going on, because to look for the intersections, we have to understand together what's going on. So a little bit of backstory. It's set in the late 30s in Austria. It's in the time of the Nazi regime that's happening in Germany. And there's a situation where there's this woman, Maria, and she's a nun. Now, I'm not sure from watching the film why she was sure that she could live in a convent. I mean, everything that they want her to do, she stands up against it. She jumps up against it. I mean, she has a lot of energy. She shows up late to everything. Silence is not her gift. She doesn't want to participate in that. So the mother of the abbey where she lives decides maybe she needs to go do something different. And there's a family, it's the Von Trapp family. They've recently lost their mother, and they need a governess. And I think the best way to describe a governess is like a live-in nanny, like someone who will come and take care of the seven children. So she is sent. She is sent out of the comfort of the abbey to go to this place. Now, the father of the Von Trapp family, He is trying to lead the family like the army. If you've seen the show, he has a whistle he blows. There is no joy allowed in that household. And when he brings her in, she is certainly not the first one that's been there. There have been several different people serving in this role. And you find that there's this moment where she's with the kids. And initially, these seven kids of all different ages have no reason to connect in relationship with her because they say she's going to be gone in no time. It's all going to be over. She's going to leave. And she starts to teach them to sing. This is why I say the world should be a musical. She teaches them to sing. And she starts with that famous song, Do, Re, Mi. Right? I'm not going to sing it. It's not going to happen. But she starts, okay, no. But she starts with that song, and you notice something if you watch the film. You notice everybody let their guard down a little bit. The kids let their guard down. And then she goes, there's a thunderstorm that happens, and all the kids come barreling in her room, and the dad, Captain George, is mad that the kids aren't in bed and they're not asleep. But you see this thing that's unfolding. Now, fortunately, unfortunately, depending on who you are in the story, what ends up happening is she begins to develop feelings for the captain. There's a problem with that. She's not allowed to have feelings for the captain. So in the midst of it, and the captain has brought another woman into the family, and in the midst of it, she runs. She goes back to the abbey. And when she gets there, she is deeply, deeply sad. She takes on a vow of silence, and she's deeply sad. No one sees her. No one's able to connect with her. And finally, they say, we think you need to go back. And the mother tells her that maybe, just maybe, you can serve God in a different way. God's calling is still on your life, even if it's not the thing that you thought it was going to be. I think that's a potent moment in the story. Now, she goes back. The woman who he is now engaged when she comes back to the family, the woman who he has pledged to be married to, discerns really quickly that he's in love with Maria. They end up getting married. They come back. There's the very end of the movie, which, by the way, is probably one of my only problems with the whole show. They do this whole big thing about him being called up to war, and it's like the very, very end of the movie, and they end up in the hills, right? They end up running away. But I think the important note to pay attention to in this story is that their lives did not go the way that they expected it to go. See, many people love that moment when she's standing up, the hills are alive moment. The team sang that this morning. Many people love that moment. And they think that's the moment where it all begins, but here's the truth. Her story began long before that. Her story didn't start at the mountaintop moment. Her story starts in what we see in the abbey. Her story starts in a very safe place, in a place of comfort, in a place for her where she feels like this is what I'm supposed to do. I felt my whole life like this is what I'm supposed to do. Or maybe it's what she should be doing. A lot of us find ourselves in that place, friends. In that safe place. Maybe it's in our profession. Maybe it's in our life. Maybe it's in a hobby that we do. Whatever it is, it's like, of course we're going to do that. We've always done that. It's what we should do. It's what we're supposed to do. And I think what happens is we often mistake routine, comfort, for faith. We often say, well, I'm being a faithful person because this is what's comfortable for me. I'm being a faithful person because this is what I'm good at. I'm being a faithful person because this is what I'm supposed to be doing. A lot of us stay in those places. You know, I have watched so many people over the last few years when it comes to like political parties, for example. Well, I've been a this all my life, so I've got to remain being a this. I've done this all my life. I've said this all of my life because it's comfortable to stay there. It's comfortable to hang out in that place. And again, this can refer to lots of things, jobs, mindsets, habits, because they're incredibly predictable. Maybe they're not easy. Like some of you are in very difficult professions that you hate. You absolutely hate them. And maybe they're not easy, but it's what you should be doing. You went to school for that. That's your background. That's the safe place for you. See, the challenge for Maria in the show is she doesn't actually fit in the safe place. She doesn't fit there. She can't fit the mold of what everyone wants for her. Her soul is longing to get out. I wonder if that resonates with any of you all today. Is your soul longing for something more? Something different in your life? See, sometimes the challenge for us is that our soul outgrows the place that we are. I mean, isn't that kind of the hope? That our soul grows, that our soul transforms, that our soul changes, and then we get this nudge of God to do something a little bit different, to step out. And a lot of times we're so afraid to do that. A lot of times we're so scared to do that. I want to take us to a place that I probably only preach from, gosh, in my entire time being a pastor, probably two or three times, and that's the book of Proverbs. It's a really important book in the Bible, and a lot of people overlook it. It's a book of wisdom. It gives us some of this Hebrews ethics and life lessons and wisdom that comes at a really, really important way of sharing it and way of doing it. So I want to encourage you, read through the Proverbs, take a look at it. These things that are said challenge us, they push us to grow and follow God in a more intentional way. So I want to look at chapter 3, verses 1 to 6 today. It says, my son, don't forget my instruction. Let your heart guard my commands, because they will help you live a long time and provide you with well-being. Don't let loyalty and faithfulness leave you. Bind them on your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and approval in the eyes of God and humanity. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Know him in all your paths, and he will keep your ways straight. Let's unpack this a little bit. It begins with pay attention. You see that language? He starts there, the writer starts with son. Like that's a, hey, look here. That's a pay attention moment. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Don't forget. And I think sometimes when we read the Bible and we see these moments of pay attention, at least in the way I was instructed in my younger years, it's like, these are rules. You got to pay attention to them. These are rules. You've got to know them. And that is not at all the intent of what's being said here. It's saying not because these are rules. It's saying don't forget, because it will help you live a long time and provide you with good well-being and mental health. I mean, the passage literally says provide you with well-being. Don't do this because it's rules. Do this because it will make your life better. Pay attention to this. And then it pushes to say, be loyal and be faithful, because that's a part of who you are. Pay attention to that. So much so that you write it, you etch it in the tablet of your heart. I mean, I love the beauty of these words. Etch it in who you are. Make it a part of who you are. And when you do that, you will find favor in God and humanity's eyes, not because God will love you anymore. God can't love you anymore. God loves you, beyond any capacity you might understand. But God will find, you will find favor in humanity's eyes and in God's eyes because you will be living a life that brings you life and brings you energy. A life that brings you joy. A life that brings you love. A life that brings you focus. Living in the will of God, friends, it is not because God has something that God needs you to do. Living in the will of God will bring you more life. Living in the will of God will transform your life. Now look at this next part. I love what the proverb says here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own intelligence. Know him in all your paths, and he will keep your ways straight. What does that mean? Other translations might say, lean not on your own understanding. Here's what that doesn't mean. Let's start there first. It doesn't mean don't use your mind. It doesn't mean give up your intelligence. Remember, that is a gift from God who loves you. It doesn't mean just let it all go. It means something incredibly different. It's an invitation to acknowledge those places in our lives where our ego and even our anxiety might masquerade as understanding. Anybody ever experienced that in your life? Right, your ego gets in the way and you're like, I know this is what I'm supposed to do. No, we just do that because our ego takes over. And it says, pay attention to those things. Do those things. Those things can get in the way from us being able to trust God with the future that God might long for us to have. Remember, God's desire for you is a better future. God's desire for you and for me is wholeness. God's desire for you and for me is life. And here's the really cool thing in the Hebrew language that we should pay attention to in this text. People read, and he will keep your ways straight, and believe that God is like those bumper guards in bowling. Anybody ever put those down? You're like, I can never go in the gutter if I have this. By the way, you can go in the gutter even if you have those. I've seen it happen. But we think that what God does is God puts these gutters down, these gutter covers down, and it keeps us from ever doing anything different. And I don't think that's true at all. That's not what the Hebrew implies in this text. The Hebrew root for this phrase means making a way where you don't see one. Anybody else ever look at your future and say, I don't see any other alternative? I have to do this. I have to go in this direction. I have to do this thing. This passage literally is talking about God having the capacity to make a way where you don't see one. Like the Israelites or the Hebrews standing at the sea, thinking all is over and God making a new way for them. Where is that in your life? Where are you experiencing that in your life? It's about partnership with God. See, I think we often get to a place in our lives where we say, well, God will open a door, and the only way for that to happen is if God shuts every other door in our way, if God puts those bumper guards down. And I don't think that's the way that God operates. What God does is long for us to have that life, long for us to have that experience. And God tries to show us ways where we never saw a way before. Trust is not a passive reality. It's an active one. I know I've said this before. And if my dad's watching today, it is probably one of the most powerful things he ever said to me in my life. I remember when I was a kid, I would have a test or something. My dad would go, hey, did you study for your test? And there were times where I said, no, but I prayed about it. And my dad, if you know my dad, he's like the funniest dude in the world. He would look at me and he'd say, boy, you need to put some legs on those prayers. You partner with God for the test. God does not take your pencil and fill in the circles. Boy, you have to partner with God. How are we partnering with God for the preferred future that we desire? Rather than just assuming that God will open every door and we just have to walk through, how do we partner with God? Now let's go back to the Sound of Music. See, in Maria's moments, she felt this call to serve God, and she discerned that that would be as a nun. She was sure that's what she was supposed to do. Now this would have been an incredible way, of course, for her to serve God. But serving as the governess for this family was also an incredible way for her to serve God. If you watch this story, she is deeply, deeply living in a place where she gets this unexpected call and she brings joy and life to that family. It's an unexpected call on her life, an unexpected place for her to go, an unexpected thing for her to do. Friends, have you ever gotten an unexpected call? I did. You know what I said I never wanted to do in my life? Be a pastor. I watched so many pastors. I watched what it did to their life. I watched how they hurt other people. And I said, I never, ever, ever want to do that. And God said, yeah, you're going to. And God didn't take away everything. I still had to go through interviews. I still had to study. I still had to do the work. But God nudged me over and over and over again. And listen, the only holy call from God is not just to be a pastor. Every single one of you has a holy call from God to do something really beautiful in the world, to bring transformation in the world. Look, I studied econ. I studied Spanish. I wanted to live in Spain and be a business person. I still want to do that. If anybody's got a job for me, just let me know. I will go live in Spain and work, and I'll preach the gospel too. I'll do both. But I actually think that would have been more comfortable for me than doing what I do. We're not called to just live in the comfortable. And here's the funny thing. Like Maria, many of us have this issue. We live in a world where we think we should do a lot of things. Well, I should do this. I studied this. I paid attention to this. And I think we have to let go of the shoulds. You have to let go of the shoulds, because I don't think we're fully trusting God in the midst of the shoulds. If all we do is live in, I should do this. And listen, I want to be clear. I'm not just talking about vocation. I'm not just talking about your job. There are lots of things. I should do this. I should do this. If all we do is live in the shoulds, then that gets us caught up from experiencing the fullness of God's good and faithful life that God has for each and every one of us. It takes incredible trust and faithfulness to do that. Now, again, there's vulnerability in the mountains. When the hills are alive, there's movement. There's danger out there. The convent was safe. Friends, to live our calling in life, we have to step out of the walls of the church. God is active in those places in our lives where we step out in faith. How do we trust God? How do we hear the calling of this new place or this new space that God might be calling us to? Here's the first thing. We have to acknowledge the fear. I'm afraid to do that. Whatever it is, I am afraid to go out and do that. I'm afraid to take that step. If you don't acknowledge it, it will take control of you. It will hold over you. If we don't acknowledge the fear, naming the concern, let yourself feel all the feels, whatever it is. Let yourself feel it, acknowledge it, name it. I think that God works powerfully when we're vulnerable. When we name those things that hold us back. Here's the second thing. How do we step out? We listen for the music. What brings you life and joy? That's often God's way of speaking to you. What is it? What's the thing? And again, maybe this is a new hobby you need to take on that's going to bless other people. Maybe this is something you want to stand up for that's been bothering you. Maybe this is a new job. Whatever it is, listen for the music that brings you that life. Listen for the music that brings you that joy. Listen for the ways God is leading you. Even in a volunteer way, to volunteer with a nonprofit, to volunteer with your church, what is God calling you to do? Listen for the music that gives you that joy and that energy. And friends, to step out, we have to release the outcome. We may not know exactly what's going to happen. I was at a grad party last night, and I heard this story of a friend of mine. And her husband had died unexpectedly a few years ago. And my friend, which I didn't know, we haven't lived in that community in a few years, has gone to medical school. And she's doing her rounds right now. And she's doing her praxis. And she's learning to be a doctor. This is a friend of mine who's in her early 50s. She felt that calling in her life, and she responded to it in that way. There is no time that's too late to do something that God's calling you to. There's no time that's too long, but we may have to release the outcome. Trusting God is not about us controlling every aspect. Trusting God is about us being open to the movement of God in our lives, even if it's something that we didn't think we were going to do. And then finally, I leave you with this: embrace the intermission. This one's often hard for us. The intermission is that liminal space, the unknown, in the midst of transitioning from one thing to a next, whatever that might be in the calling that God has for you. That's the hardest space, I think, for the whole thing. Like, why is it not happening? When I meet with couples about their wedding, and I meet with them in the early days, they're so busy. They're picking the venue. They're getting all their vendors. They're doing all that stuff. And what they forget is that that last month right before, it's going to be really hard again. But that mid space is super weird. It's the liminal space. You're like, I know I should be doing something, but there's nothing to do. I really want to be married, but it's not here yet. That's the same reality when we are in a space of transitioning, whatever that might be. In that liminal space, in that intermission, in that place between the where we were and where we're headed that might bring us more life, it's often hard, but we have to embrace it. God works in that space as well. The movement from Egypt all the way to the promised land had a lot of intermission in the middle. God works in the midst of the intermission. Friends, some of you right now are thinking about your life, I would imagine, and you're saying that mountain is too high to climb. It's much better if I just stay down here, and if I don't climb that mountain, my life will be easier. The mountains aren't just obstacles. What if we looked at those mountains as a terrain of growth? What if we looked at them as an opportunity for God to call us into something new, to respond to something new that God wants for us? And it may not be a whole new profession. What if it's a whole new way of doing what you do? What if it's a way of thinking? What if it's a way of responding to what you do? What if what God is calling you to is a new way to find joy in your life? Friends, let's not live in the shoulds. Let's not get caught up in the fact that we have to step out. Let's name the fear, name the anxiety, and trust the one who deeply, deeply loves us, who wants the best for each and every person, who longs for you to have life, who longs for you to have life to the fullness. Our comfort zones are just that. They are comfort. And I've regularly heard there's very little growth in the comfort zone. If you step out, what might God do? How might God bring you new life? Here's the beautiful thing. When you do it in the midst of community, we all get to watch. And we get to see the beauty and the transformation that happens in everybody's life. And I pray it's so. Amen. Amen. Amen.